I got a little gift this morning from Gracie. I got a little cross. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you ready for the word? Preach it. I got one. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Those who place their hope in God, the soaring on the wings of the Spirit. Is that what it says? On the wind of the Spirit. It's all good to me. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, and it says, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How many likes that? So, my friends, this soaring on wings, it's placing your hope in God. And some of the translation says, wait upon His grace. The Passion Translation says, wait upon His grace. Some of them says, wait upon the Lord, and this one says, hope. It's a way of trying to translate it. It's about faith, amen? It's about faith in God. There was two nuns. They were traveling across the prairies to a little town in nowhere, and they ran out of gas. And a farmer came along, and he stopped. And he said, I have a big tank in the back, but I don't have anything to pour the gas into. And she said, well, that's not a problem. We have a bedpan. We can use that. So they poured the gas into the bedpan, and the farmer took off. And then they stood to the side of the road, and they poured gas into the tank using the bedpan. And a pastor was coming along, and he said to his friend next, he says, now that's faith. That's faith. My friends, when you put your hope, your trust, your faith in God, He renews your strength. You mount up with wings like an eagle, and you begin to soar. How many has watched eagles soar? How many have seen them? You know, they have up to, what is it, almost 7.5 feet wingspan. And when you see them, they don't labor too much. Have you ever seen an eagle bash like this? No, they just glide the wind, the current, and then it seems like effortless. I mean, it's amazing to watch these eagles. Well, I soared one time. I glided on the wind also one time. It was in grade 12, and a friend of mine, he said, Hans, let's go and go gliding. And he belonged to a gliding club. And I had my mother's car. So he said, sure, we'll skip class and go gliding. Come on, you don't look so holy. You skip class once or twice. No. And we went to this place. And if you know gliders, they don't have any motors, right? They don't have any power except for the wind. So there's a Volkswagen Beetle, and there's a rope that goes onto this glider. And a guy in a Volkswagen Beetle, he steps on it, and we get going. I don't know how fast we go, but eventually this thing rope ties up, and we go up in the sky. And then the rope goes released. The guy in the cockpit, he releases the rope. And now you have just the current. And the way to get up is to go underneath the cloud, and they go around and around, and then there's an upward draft that causes the plane to go up. That's how they get up. And then you just hope that they land close to where we started, because otherwise you're going to have to get a tow truck to haul you. But the problem for me was, when you go around like this, what happens to your stomach? It doesn't want to go around like that. It wants to go straight. So So I had my little problems, but it was a good experience. We survived. So how do I get the current under my wings? How do I soar? How do I get out of my couch and begin to soar in the spirit? Caitlin reminded me yesterday, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by his spirit. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, in view of all these saints, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles you, and run this race with perseverance. Fixing your eyes upon who? Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and the shame. So sometimes there's things you're going to have to throw off to begin to soar. In Joshua, there is a story of Joshua, chapter 1. How many remember Joshua? He's now been placed in leadership of leading the Hebrews into the promised land. Moses is dead, and the previous generation, they failed. How many knows that? Why did they fail? They saw God's provision in the desert. They saw him deliver them from the Egyptians. They brought them right up to the promised land, right up to the destiny, right up to the goal. And then they sent out some spies. Remember, 10, 12 spies, two came back and said, we can do this. But the 10 said, cannot be done. And why can it not be done? Because the enemy is too big. The cities are fortified. We look like a grasshoppers. So fear overtook them. And they never entered their destiny. Do you know why they didn't enter their destiny? Because they saw God in the wrong light. If you read the whole chapter of Isaiah 40, it is people who have forgotten what God is really like. So over and over again in the same chapter, he says, have you not heard? Have you not understood? Who can you compare God to? Don't you know that he's the creator of the universe? The maker of heaven and earth? Don't you know? Haven't you understood when you look in the sky that he made that and the span of the universe is in the palm of his hands? Don't you know this is the kind of God you have? And he sent his son to die on the cross for you? My friends, this is the God who calls Father Abba, who says you belong to him. Amen. So Joshua is about to lead his Hebrews ex-slaves into the promised land. And God says to him, be strong and courageous. Meditate upon my law, which is meditate upon this one. Don't leave it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Obey it. And then he says, again, be strong and courageous. Meditate. Don't turn away from it. And you will be successful. How many is ready to be successful? How many is ready to soar and have some of the Holy Spirit wind lift you? There's a guy called Terry Law. Terry Law, actually, many, many years ago, pastors his church. And he's now a part of what they call Passion International. He travels to the world to bring food and the gospel to the close countries of the world, like Iraq. In fact, I'm going to bring a guy in here who's going to talk about his experience in Iraq with Terry Law. Terry got a phone call one day that his wife had been killed. in a car accident. And he came home, and his heart was naturally broken. And he went to his friend, Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts said to him, "You need to go home and praise God." How many of those times where it's pretty hard to praise God? Holly was standing here this morning and says, sometimes we need to fight. We need to fight. How many of those sometimes you need to fight to get there? So he got home. He turned to Psalm 34. It says, "Yet my lips would praise you." I mean, he heard that. And he begins to praise God. But the first was, "God, how can I praise you? God, where are you?" But by sheer will and effort, he began to praise him and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done." And for 3 or 4 hours, he forced himself to praise him. And then it lifted. The darkness, the brokenness lifted. And Terry Law experienced a revelation from God that through worship, you can break down the darkness. And God gave him a new sound that has influenced worship in the modern day Christian church today. And he had a band, and I forget what it was called, Living Sound. And he took Living Sound to the darkest places of the world, like Russia. One time he was invited by a bar to come and do rock music. They had no idea they were Christians. I don't know how they got hold of him, but he went there and they started singing these songs. And they all got arrested. But I forget the story, but somehow they got out of it. My friends, there is a key to have the winds on your wings. Yet my lips will praise him. Psalm 34. Are you ready to praise him? I want to tell you one more story. And I'm telling you because there's some principles in this story that applies to you and I today. And the story is, how many knows that sometimes we can better understand it when we hear a story than we just get it? Point one, point two, point three. How many? That's how I am. I can understand a story. So Dale Black, 19 years old, he was flying a plane. He was getting his license, and he had passed his written test, and he was going for these flights to get up his hours. And so he got on this plane with 2 other pilots. And they were taking off the runway, and suddenly the pilot realized, we're not going to make it over the trees. He started lifting too soon. And this Dale was sitting in the right side of the, beside the pilot, and the guy behind him, who was a very experienced pilot, said, "We better shift seats. I'm going to go in the front and help get this thing over the trees." But it became clear they were not going to do it. And they piled into a monument for, ironically, pilots who died. The 2 pilots in the front all got killed. He got thrown out on the pavement. They brought him into the hospital. And he saw himself. They didn't know if he's going to live or die or have a brain damage or ever walk. There was just extensive damage to him, as far as they could tell. Then he saw himself, his spirit leave. How many knows we have a body and a spirit? And he saw himself look down from the ceiling and seeing the doctors and nurses running around. And he thought to himself, "I don't feel pain. I can't be dead." I suspect he died for a few minutes. Then he remembered when he was in grade 5. In grade 5, he had gone to a church camp. And in the church camp, he had accepted Jesus as his Savior. And he remembered him having peace and joy and such a faith. And then he grew a little older and he forgot all about Christianity. He wanted to do what he wanted to do and he wanted to fly. And he hated school and got kicked out of school. He was a bit rebellious. Anybody here ever got kicked out of school? No, it's class. And he remembered all this. And then he gets sucked into a tunnel and ends up in heaven. And he has a beautiful experience of heaven. And finally, he gets back to earth into his body. And to make this long story short, he has an amazing healing of his shoulder. They didn't think he was going to ever use his shoulder, but it heals miraculously. The muscles, who has not been used for 6 months, begins to develop again. The way he exercised his arm, he was driving down in his car, and he put his arm around. He couldn't lift his arm, but the wind would lift his arm. That's how he developed muscles. Anyway, miraculously, he was able to use his arm. But there was a problem. His ankle had been broken, and the blood was not circulating into the ankle. And so the doctor said, if it doesn't increase, that bone dies. I didn't know anything about this, but apparently there's blood going through your bones. And if it doesn't get the blood, it dies. And he said, it's only 15% of what it needs to be. So we need to do a surgery soon. We take a bone from your hip and put it in there. But if we do, you will never be able to fly. You'll never be able to do sports. But it might prevent you from sitting in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. Well, he didn't like that. So we went to Grandpa. And here are the principles. How many knows there are some wise grandpas around? He went to Grandpa. He said, Grandpa, what should I do? I have a decision to make. Either I go for the surgery and I'll probably never fly. Well, I will never fly again. Or I pray. And he said, Grandpa said, we don't live by sight, but we live by faith. Don't live by what the doctor's reports are. They're good doctors, but sometimes you need to hear what God says. I'm not saying the doctors are bad. I think they're great. But sometimes God has a different opinion. So he said, well, how do I hear what God's opinion is? And here come some principles, my friends. He said, number one, you need to pray. You need to pray by yourself. You need to pray with the elders, friends who actually believe and can stand with you in faith. Okay, that's good. Number two, you need to read the Bible. And when you read the Bible, take a pen. And when the words comes off the page, circle it because it's for you. That's how God will talk to you. Number three, obey what it says. Obey what God says to you. Wholeheartedly. And I want to stop there for a minute. I have noticed with us, sometimes we do things just to get God off our backs. When it says forgive, what are we supposed to do? Forgive. Sometimes I see people forgive the way like my little grandson forgave sometimes. He got caught by mom, or it was an auntie, I can't remember, fighting with his brother. He is taking a toy and said something, it's mine. And the other one said, no, it's mine. And I had it first. And how many of you ever had kids like that? And mom said, or auntie said to Caleb, just go and say sorry. And he had a stubborn face on, folded his hands, and looked. And with some reluctance, he said, sorry, Benjamin. But you know why he said sorry? To get mom off his back so he can get back to playing with this toy. Sometimes I feel a little bit we obey, but just to get God off our backs. And then we can go on to do what we want to do. I can go to church once in a while, and maybe I can please God sometimes, and maybe that get me off his back and I can do what I want to do. How many has ever seen The Godfather? Years and years ago, there was a movie called The Godfather. It was about a mafia out of Italy. Am I that old? Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Godfather 3. And you know what? Yeah, there you see these horrible criminals walking to church. I don't know if that shocked you, but they take communion. And then they go out of there and they kill the enemies. I think, what? What just happened? And sometimes the way we treat God and the way we obey is just, can I get in with the skin of my teeth? I just cover my bases. But that's not obeying God wholeheartedly. Amen. Finally, he said, be prepared that when you do obey, your faith will be tested. How many of you ever have your faith tested? And some of you might be in that place right now. So he goes home and he opens the scriptures. And he comes to Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. He says, ask. He said, wow, I missed that. I need to ask. And so he says, I'm going to ask for healing of my foot. Praise God. He answered. According to the scripture, he has answered. I am going to be healed. And he goes around telling the people, I'm going to be healed. Then he goes, gets his car, fills it with friends. Come and see a miracle, he said. Let's go and see the doctor. We went to the doctor. He took x-rays. And he's ready in great anticipation to show off this great miracle. The doctor comes out and says, I'm sorry, Dale. The thing hasn't changed. It's only 15% blood circulation in that foot. And I have to warn you, if you don't do something quickly, you will never put weight on that foot again. Oh, he's discouraged. He is not happy. So he goes home. And he remembers then the grandfather said, when you have faith, it's going to be tested. And he said, I just got tested. But God is still going to heal me. So a month later, he got up with his friends, headed to the doctor. He took an x-ray. Now the doctor says, there's not even 15% left. There is nothing. Now he's really upset. How many has really been upset with God? So this is what he says. He locks himself in his room. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. I locked the door because there wasn't a person on the face of the earth that I wanted to talk to. And sometimes I phone people because I haven't heard from them or seen them. And I have a feeling that they're mad at God. And they're locking themselves away. He goes on to say, God, you have blown it. I have made an absolute fool of myself in front of the medical staff and in front of my friends. Not only that, but we have made a real mess of making my life into one that gives you glory. Worst of all, my vocational goals have come to a dead end. I am crippled for life. Severe arthritis is just around the corner. Why didn't you do what you said you would do in those promises from the Bible? Are you playing some kind of game with me? I did everything on the list, right? I did everything. But you didn't keep your part of the bargain, God. Could you explain why? What else do you want me from me? Do you really want me to a wheelchair for the rest of my life? Is that it? Well, that's exactly what you got. After finishing the selfish temper tantrum, I heard a clear, gentle voice say, in the quietness of my spirit. Dale, why do you want to be healed so badly? And then God pointed him to a scripture in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Sometimes, I'm getting to the point of this whole story. We put God in the box, and God better do what we called him to do. Forgetting that he is not our servant. He's not our Santa Claus. God didn't create us so that he could come down and serve us and meet every need we had. But he created us so we can glorify him. He created us so in our lives on this earth we could learn to glorify him. He's not here to feed our old selfish, self-centered lives. He's here to change our hearts. So Dale read the scripture. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and he realized, even though now he had been born again, he was filled with the Spirit, the righteousness part was maybe not as righteous as it needed to be. And he repented of his sins. And then came to the powerful principle in the kingdom. I want to hear this. He said, God, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. In fact, God, I'm even saying this. If you want me to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, and it's how I'm going to glorify you the best, I'm willing to go in the wheelchair for the rest of my life. I'm just probably saying that's not how I like this story to end. How many of you know Joni Erickson Tada? She dives in the pool, broke her neck, could not do nothing except from here and down. But God used her in that wheelchair to reach out thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. So I don't have to get out of the wheelchair to do that. He surrendered. Now hear me. And he felt a liquid presence of God come over him, and a peace that he had never understood before. Now comes the next doctor's appointment. Can I just say something? Sometimes people hear sermons like this and say, okay, I'm going to surrender. But I'm going to keep an eye out for that reward. Because if I surrender, he surely is going to give me what I want. If you surrender, you better be real. You better be honest, because God knows your heart. Amen. So he goes to the doctor. This time, no friends. He cannot prove it to nobody. He's done with that. And he's ready. He doesn't even know what the answer is going to be. He's okay. If the doctor says, you're going to be in the wheelchair, we're going to have to amputate that foot. He's okay. He goes in to the doctor. The doctor comes out and says, I don't know what happened, but you now have 40% circulation of blood in that bone. And he said, you can actually, we don't ever need a surgery because it looks like it's coming back. It took a few years before it was 100%, but he began to walk. And a year later, after the accident, because he felt God told him that he was going to fly again. A year after the accident, he got in the plane for the first time. And he flew over the monument 3 times. And he told the control tower, I was the one that crashed a year ago. And the guy in the control tower started crying because he said, we were there that day and we thought nobody could survive that crash. Today, many years later, He has his own airline, or really, I don't know what company, and he flies people around the world. He flies missionaries around the world. One more point, and I'm done. The grandfather said, pray. Pray yourself. Pray with others. Read your Bible. Let God speak to you. Obey what it says. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. And finally, I wanted to add number four. Surrender. Surrender. If you're going to have wings, wind of those wings, my friends, and going to soar, they got to have to be a level of surrendering and says, God, not my will, not your will be done. I exist to glorify you. And I'm putting it all on the altar. Amen. That's how you soar, because that is not your strength. It's not your power, but it's got to be his. Amen. Romans 12, chapter 1, verse 1. In view of his mercies, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Holy Spirit, you intended us to soar with you. Not to make it happen in our own strength, not to labor, but to rest. Rest in your presence, feeling your guidance and leading in life. There is a wave of the Spirit that you can glide on. And it happens the moment when you surrender. Amen. Can I have the worship team, Paul? And one. How many loves Jesus? How many has said, when I put my hope in him, things change? Things change. And you know, what you've experienced so far is just the beginning. The best is actually still to come. He's for you. He's not against you.